On today's episode of Locked On Pirates, there's rumors going around that Daniel Vogelbach and the New York Mets could eventually have a partnership here, as the Pittsburgh Pirates have reportedly talked to the New York Mets and inquired about a trade for one of baseball's best DHs this year. Also, the Pittsburgh Pirates are finally back on the field today against the Miami Marlins, so we will be previewing and making our predictions about that series, as well as highlighting your comments on the Daniel Vogelbach rumor mill and if the Pirates should trade Daniel Vogelbach or if they should hold on. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar and Sports Card Investor. But before we get into today's episode, thank you guys so much for making me your first listen of the day every single day here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team, your Pittsburgh Pirates, every single day. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at MVP underscore Ethan or at Locked On Pirates. We will be tweeting about the game tonight and very, very happy to have the game back on tonight. So the Pirates are finally back on the field for the first time since Sunday. We're also going to have a podcast tomorrow about everything going on in the world of the Pittsburgh Pirates. But with that said, let's get into today's episode, everybody.
You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Alrighty, everybody, and welcome back to that Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Hope you're all having a phenomenal Friday, July 23rd, I believe today is. July 22nd, sorry, I'm a day ahead. But I am Ethan Smith of the Locked On Pirates podcast, and let's get right into it. A couple days ago, over the course of the All-Star break, it was reported that the Mets and the Pittsburgh Pirates have talked about a possible trade involving DH Daniel Vogelbach. We will see what happens with this. I'm not entirely sure if we're going to see a trade for Mr. Vogie. But food for thought, right? I mean, we are in trade season. I think it's pretty clear that Jose Quintana is definitely the Pirates' biggest reasonable trade target. I think we're going to see Brian Reynolds and David Bednar on this team for sure for right now. And there's no reason for either of those guys to get traded. But it made me think, what is Vogelbach's trade value and what could the Mets be sending over? And I had a few names to bring up to you guys. So I have it right here, just so you guys see. Have it right here, the Mets farm system. And one of the names that immediately pops out to me is Carlos Cortez, currently playing in the Double-A Binghamton Rumble Ponies. Phenomenal name. Lefty bat, throws switch hitter, by the way. He's a second baseman and an outfielder. He was a 2018 third-round pick out of the New York Mets. 2022 ETA, so he is close to MLB ready. Grades out as a 45 hitter, 55 power, 40 run, 45 arm, 45 field, and 45 overall. Right now in Double A and over his career, 249, 325, 407 guy. He's batting 219 in Double A right now with a 639 OPS, but over his career, he is a 732 OPS guy. Had his best year arguably in 2021 as well, sporting 819 OPS, and he's currently the Mets' 15th ranked prospect. And I think 15 down is where we could be thinking about what the Pirates could be looking at here. Jose Butto, another right-handed pitcher who would be ready pretty soon, also in Double A, is a guy I keep seeing a lot of people talk about. Kind of hard to really consider him just because he is one of their prospects, especially pitching wise, that is the closest. You have Joel Diaz, Calvin Ziegler, and Dominic Hamill as their other top guys, as well as Matt Allen, but all of those guys are pretty far away, so I don't see them exactly getting rid of Jose Butto for Daniel Vogelbach because Butto is their closest prospect there. Another guy I wanted to bring up was Eric Orsi. He is another guy that's very close, but he's a little bit further down in the system currently in AAA in Syracuse, where he has a 5.35 ERA, 1.16 whip, 55 strikeouts to 11 walks. So, I love that. I think he's been doing a good job down there in AAA. I think he's another guy the Pirates could reasonably think about. When you look at his bio, 55 fastball, 45 slider, 60 splitter, 50 control, 40 overall. Cool thing about Eric Orsi, a two-time cancer survivor. Splitter is also what gives him major league bullpen potential, which again goes back to what reasonably are you looking for Daniel Vogelbach? Again, the guy is signed through next year for the most part. There's an option where he could play for the Pirates on $1.5 million. He's been a very good DH for the team this year, one of the better DHs in all of baseball. So how do you value him out? Nobody really knows that. I would say he's a bottom of the system trade guy. So 15 to 30, I think, is where you're looking, which is why I'm bringing up all these guys. I really like Carlos Cortez. Hayden Senger is another guy that I also really enjoy, another double A guy. He's a catcher who's also supposedly ready this year. 227, 298, 350 slugging with a 648 OPS, but he's a career 712 OPS guy as a catcher. And I would love the Pirates to bring in kind of a stopgap for Henry Davis next year, and a young guy that can make a lot of noise, I think, in Hayden Senger. I think, though, as far as Kextra goes, are kind of stuck where they are. Carlos Rincon, another AAA guy, is another guy. He's number 28 in their system. Career 245, 322, 464, 786 OPS guy. Really, really very big in the arm department. 40 hitting, 40 overall guy. He was originally a Dodgers organization's guy. Power first, which you really like. And then one more name I'd like to throw out there is Josh Walker. This Pirates team is desperate, and I mean they need to be desperate for a lefty arm. Triple A guy who grades out with a 50 fastball, 45 curveball, 45 changeup, and 55 control. 37th round pick in 2017, 24th overall prospect. I think a straight swap for Vogelbach and Walker would be absolutely phenomenal. I know one of you guys mentioned that I like to use that word a lot, but I do think that that would be a very good trade for them. He didn't pitch at all this year, I believe. I'm not really sure why. Kind of weird that he hasn't pitched this year. I think he may have an injury. I didn't look it up beforehand, but last year, 3.73 ERA guy, 4.21 ERA over his career. I would love a Josh Walker. Another guy that came to mind was Jake Mangum, 22nd overall prospect outfielder, batting 298, 355, 417, and 272 at AAA. I will say this. The Mets don't exactly have the greatest farm system. I mean, it's a farm system that's headlined by Khalil Lee, Nick Plummer, Ronnie Mauricio, Alex Ramirez, Brett Beatty, Francisco Alvarez, Mark Vientos. It's a weird system. It's not highly touted. It's not bad. But again, I think for Vogie, you have to be looking at the lower parts of the system, which I think is what the Pirates are going to be doing here. And they have options down there that I think could be appealing to Pittsburgh. Again, it just really is, do you want to keep Vogelbach, who has been one of the better DHs and has supplemented that DH spot very well, or do you want to trade him off and get any piece you can? We'll get more into Daniel Vogelbach here in just a moment, and your thoughts and your votes on if they should trade Daniel Vogelbach here in just a moment. But with that said, today's episode, as mentioned earlier, is brought to you by the wonderful people over at Sports Card Investor. Welcome to the world of sports cards reimagined. The Sports Card Investor app is the hobby's most powerful resource. Quickly check the value of your favorite cards, find great deals, and profit from the hobby you love. Available completely free in the Google Play and Apple App Stores, the Sports Card Investor app is a must-have for baseball fans. It is completely free. Easily browse over 630,000 cards from every sport, with hundreds more added each week, which you really like to enjoy. Check the latest values of your favorite cards with 7 or 30 day charts, and find the best prices and buy directly through the app with our eBay deals feature. Breakout stars or prospects debuting, check the value of or find great deals on your first cards. Nostalgia and old players, well, go back in time and see how much your favorite old cards are worth today. Are you interested in getting into sports cards? Well, you can find great deals on all of your favorite players like Mike Trout, Aaron Judge, O'Neill Cruz, Key Brian Hayes, etc. Personal card stories are also phenomenal. I don't really have that many, but share your stories with Sports Card Investor. They would love to hear them. Download the Sports Card Investor app today. It is available for free in the Google Play and Apple App Stores, or go to sportscardinvestor.com/locked on. So we're going to get into your thoughts here on the Daniel Vogelbach thing. The question that was posed to you guys, with the Mets reportedly talking with the Pirates about Daniel Vogelbach, what are your thoughts on trading him to New York? Answers, of course, will be featured on the episode. So there was a poll tied to this where 64% of you guys said trade him, 36% said do not trade him. A bloop and a blast, the Bloop and a Blast podcast. Fun Little Pirates podcast to go follow, said he signed to us for 1 year. So yes, flip him now and get something before he leaves. Otherwise, we get nothing. That is a very good point. Now, with Vogelbach and the success he's had at the DH position and what you could expect, that is a very phenomenal point. Mainly because if you think that Vogie's going to leave, which he more than likely would in this scenario, you want to get something for the guy. The Pirates have had issues in the past where they hold on to these guys and then don't get anything for them, or they wait too long and their value diminishes. You saw that with a guy, I think, like Josh Bell. They let his value diminish. They should have traded him at the trade deadline when he was an all-star. They would have got way more value. Instead, they waited. He had a bad second half. They get Will Crow and Eddie Yean. Eddie Yean, the verdict's still out on him. Will Crow has picked it up in the bullpen. I think Vogie's value is about as high as it's going to be with how he's playing right now. I think you have to take advantage of that. I think trading him is the right option here. But we move on to Poppy Sargell, who says, I beg of Pirates fans to care about employing actually competent players instead of endless prospect lottery tickets. So that kind of goes on the other side of the coin, is do you go with another lottery ticket prospect, or do you keep Daniel Vogelbach, who is a known commodity for you, who, of course, happens to be pretty one-dimensional in terms of what he offers because he is just a DH. He's not very good defensively. That's all he's going to be for you as a DH. It's kind of both sides. Do you want to take a prospect again and hope that prospect does well on a lottery ticket, or do you just keep the known commodity you have in Daniel Vogelbach and keep it moving? I like that you brought that up because it gives you both sides of the coin, and I want to hear your thoughts on this. What side are you on? I might even make a poll before the game tonight about lottery ticket prospect or keep them. That's pretty much the thought process here. Brent Thompson, if you get a piece back you want, then yes, trade him. Sell high while you can because he isn't part of the longer-term plan. Funny thing is, I'm not sure teams would want him next year under contract, so he might be worth more trading next year. That's another thing that I think is very important to consider here, is that he is under contract through next year. $1.5 million, very cheap contract. Would teams be more willing to trade for him next year in the hopes that, okay, well, if he doesn't play well for us, we're not contractually obligated to keep him the following year? Now, of course, $1.5 million, no biggie for any baseball team, not even the Pirates, not the Athletics, not any of these small spending teams. $1.5 million is definitely, I think, a solid number for any guy that you're trading like this, especially for the output you're getting. I think you're getting a very good output for Vogelbach. That's good for that value. The main thing that I want to speak on here for a second before we continue to the rest of the comments, Vogelbach and Quintana were both brought in for the same reason. They're veteran guys that were meant to help this team and be stopgaps this year to then get traded. That was the point of having both of them here. So I get the side of keeping Vogelbach because if they keep him, I'm fine with it. He's producing. He's a good bat in the lineup. If they trade him, as long as the guy's a lottery ticket and I think he brings value to the team within the next year or so, yes. But that's the only way I trade him, is if he gives value, the guy that they get back brings value to the team ASAP. Not as like immediately as soon as possible, but not a 2025, 2026 guy that you're not going to know the verdict on for 4 years. I'm talking about a guy, like I mentioned all those guys earlier who are 2022 OTA, like Eric Orsi, Hayden Senger, Jake Mangum, Nick Mayer, Carlos Rincon. You would know immediately. And I think that's where the Pirates need to think. Josh Harrison is better than Javi Baez, wins Williams. At this point on the presumed pipeline to a winning team, there's still only five or six guys I'm not really listening on. We're also past the point of blind asset selling, and you could get what you get and move on. More complicated a question than it would have been 2 years ago, especially for Vogie, who, while the dude can hit, his value is kind of hard to gauge, in my opinion, because of the hit it takes by being so inflexible in how they can use them. Whereas, say, Q, referring to Jose Quintana, is really valuable right now, and we're going to get something intriguing for him. Not sure about Vogie. So the one-dimensional thing I get, but also if you're trading for him, like if a team is trading for him, they at least know what they're getting in Vogelbach. They don't have to worry about putting him in the field. He takes over your DH spot. He takes over helping you in that DH spot and gives you a consistent guy to be in that spot. Now, of course, we have seen him injured this year, which has some people worried that he might be injury prone. I'm not that worried about that. I don't think he's injury prone at all. I definitely think that for the most part, Vogelbach offers a team a solid DH or even a solid lefty bench bat against a right-handed pitcher for a postseason team like the Mets, say like the Guardians or the Twins or a team like that. Three Chiz Pizza says, why not Yoshi for the Mets? I think we all know why. Big Earn, I'm usually not supportive of the continued shipping out of our good players for single-A prospects, but if you could get something interesting, go for it. He has no future here. He doesn't have a future here, no, but how many would be opposed to having Vogelbach as the DH again if he produces the same in 2023? And then trade him in 2023 as a stopgap. And keep him as a stopgap before you wait on guys like Nick Gonzalez, Peguero, Mason Martin, the other names in the system that could potentially fill that DH spot. Very good point. Rowanzi Contreras Cy Young says, for what a bag of peanuts. Yes, I know. Some people feel that way, that trading Vogelbach has pretty much no value. He's a very good player, but they don't know if there's any value in trading him. And final comment on this was from Michael Hall. Trade him, then watch New York send him to the Nats as part of the Soto deal. That'd be very funny. Be very interesting to see if that happened. I think it would be a wild dynamic if Vogelbach was traded twice in a matter of a couple days. I'm not expecting, by the way, to see Soto traded this deadline. I just think trading that many prospects and MLB-ready players at one time in the middle of the year is just too much for a team. I just don't see a team doing it. I think it'll happen during winter meetings this upcoming winter. Guys, those are your comments. I really appreciate it. I wanted everybody to kind of get a sense of where the fan base was as a whole rather than just me. And before we preview the Miami Marlins series and get into all of that stuff, today's episode is brought to you by the best protein bars on planet Earth, and that's Built Bar. From the people who invented Healthy and Tasty comes the latest gift to your taste buds. You've probably tried the amazing Coconut Brownie Chunk Built Bar, but guess what? Your friends at Built have given Coconut Brownie Chunk the Puffs treatment. That's right. The Coconut Brownie Chunk Built Bar flavor you love in a deliciously chewy marshmallow covered in 100% real chocolate. It's like a fluffy cloud of coconut brownie goodness. But stop drooling and listen. They're good for you. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and all delicious. And Coconut Brownie Chunk Puffs are only here for a limited time. So go to Built.com right now and make sure you don't miss out. They're going fast because they taste amazing. All Built Bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. The best part about Built Puffs is, of course, they taste amazing, but you can enjoy them guilt-free because they are actually good for you. They are the perfect treat, perfect when you got a craving, you need to satisfy your sweet tooth, or if you need a quick, healthy snack, they're an excellent source of protein. Delicious coconut, rich sweet brownie, creamy marshmallow. Stop fantasizing. Get to Built Bar right now and order your box of Coconut Brownie Chunk Puffs right now. So go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off of your order to invest in the best protein bars on the planet. And don't forget to check out Locked On's NFL Top 50, the top 50 players that changed the betting spread, brought to you by Bet Online right now on the NFL Podcast Network over there at Locked On NFL. So the 43-49 Marlins and the 39-54 Pirates square off. Two teams, again, sub-500 in PNC Park. The Marlins have kind of fell off the proverbial cliff of being a wildcard team over the last couple of weeks. They now sit six games back of the wild card. Pirates are 10.5 back, so very interesting dynamic there between these two. But I am very excited for tonight's game because Zach Thompson gets to pitch against his former team. Of course, if you remember, Jacob Stallings was traded to the Miami Marlins in the offseason for Zach Thompson, Kyle Nicholas, and Connor Scott. There we go. His name just left my brain. But they will be facing off against Braxton Garrett, a left-handed pitcher with a 3.7 ERA, 1.23 whip, 41 Ks to 10 walks. I'm happy to see Zach Thompson back. Zach Thompson has been one of the more consistent pitchers on this team, sporting a 4.09 ERA and a 1.39 whip. So I'm very happy about that. I think the Pirates win tonight. I do. I think they come out of the gates of the All-Star break very, very fast. They open this three-game set. I believe the Marlins are favored in this game as a minus 130 favorite. The Marlins, though, were 3-7 in their last 10. The Pirates come into this game 5-5 in their last 10. Again, like the last series, I do think this is going to be a very low-scoring series, and hopefully the Pirates don't lose two out of the three games like they lost two of the games in the last series in extra innings. But that's how the game will shape up tonight with Zach Thompson. Then tomorrow we get Jose Quintana and Max Mayer. Max Mayer has an 8.44 ERA. Quintana, this is just a continued resume builder for him for another team. Pirates are favored in that one in the matchup predictor. So lots to look for, I think, in this series. Jazz Chisholm, of course, still on the 10-day. Jose Luzardo on the 60-day. Edward Cabrera, Eliasar Hernandez, and Peyton Henry all injured still for the Miami Marlins. The Pirates getting better on the injured players list. I know Reynolds reportedly today is starting to take BP and run again, so hopefully we get him back soon. No Jazz Chisholm again, though, in this series for the Miami Marlins, which I think could be a big difference for the Pirates. Then comes Sunday. They missed them in the four-game set the last time, but we get Mitch Keller and Sandy Alcantara. Sandy Alcantara arguably been one of the best pitchers in all of baseball this year. 123 strikeouts to 33 walks, a .9 whip, 1.76 ERA. The dude is absolutely wild. So with that said, I think the Pirates are guaranteed one loss in the series. I think it will come at the hands of Sandy Alcantara. But I do think they win the other two games. I think the offense comes out firing hot. I know there's still no Brian Reynolds, but I think this All-Star break was very good for one person in particular, and that's O'Neill Cruz. I think O'Neill Cruz comes out of this All-Star break very hot. I think he's going to have a very good game the first two games, and then Alcantara, I think, could possibly give Cruz and the Pirates fits in general. I also think the Pirates pitch well in the series. You heard who they have pitching. It'll be Thompson, Quintana, Keller, all guys who have been on the up lately. I know Quintana had that rough start in Colorado, but he's still Jose Quintana this year. So I'm expecting a well-pitched series from the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'm expecting O'Neill Cruz and Key Brian Hayes to kind of carry the offense with Brian Reynolds currently being out of the lineup. Think the Pirates win 2 out of 3. As far as tonight goes, I think they win 5-3. I think they're going to have a low-scoring series once again. I think the pitching on both sides outside of Max Meyer and Mitch Keller has been very good, but Mitch Keller is even doing better. So I'm not just going to write off Mitch Keller right now. But with that said, guys, we're going to get more in-depth with this series tomorrow. We're going to recap tonight's game on tomorrow's podcast, as well as continue trade deadline talk, probably previewing some places where Jose Quintana could get traded. With that said, guys, thank you for tuning in to the Locked On Pirates podcast, as you always do. We talked about Daniel Vogelbach possibly being traded to the Mets. We previewed the Marlins series. I gave my predictions where I think the Pirates are going to win 2 out of 3 games and lose to Sandy Alcantara. With that said, check in tomorrow, guys. Make sure you check out Locked On MLB Prospects with Lindsey Crosby. He's been doing a phenomenal job over there. Guys, I am your host who does the most, Ethan Smith, and I will see you guys on the flip side.